The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, Glory America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Kurt Schlichter is in for me this morning. I'm still on vacation. Kurt's not. He's working overtime. Got a book to sell, you know. And Kurt, you tell him about that book a few times, won't you? Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Hugh Hewitt, and I will tell you about my book. It's called Crisis. It's a conservative action adventure with humor and gunplay. It was hailed by the Bulwark's Bill Kristol as appalling. Ahoy, you crew shilling hacks. I couldn't think of a better blurb, and it's right there on the back. The never Trumpers hate it. That means you'll love it. That means you need to get it for yourself. You need to get it for the liberal who thinks they don't want it. And check out the pronouns I'm using. Thinks they don't want it, but needs it so hard. Who am I? Besides being the author of Crisis, I, Kurt Schlichter. Well, let me, since we're doing the thing, Doctor, assistant professor, United States Army colonel, retired, Kurt Andrew Schlichter, B.A., M.S., J.D., L.O.L., Esquire. That's right. I'm also a noted trial lawyer, and I am the senior columnist at Town Hall. You'll want to check out my work today. I've got a good one. I've got a good one. It's called Pardon Everybody. Who do we pardon? We pardon everybody. What about Eric or Don Jr.? Pardon him. What about Melania? Pardon him. What about Barron? Pardon him. Pardon everybody. It's a great column. It's very popular. People are talking about it. They're laughing. They're crying. They're sharing feelings. And that's what we're going to be doing here for the next 3 hours. What a lineup we have. Representative Chip Roy of Texas, Michael Oren, Senator Rick Scott, one of my favorites, even though he was in the Navy. We won't hold that against him. My pal Ned Ryan, Senator Jim Talent, who is amazingly woke. We've got David Limbaugh and Tom Emmer, the genius who put together the congressional counterattack that has come so tantalizingly close to taking the House back from that that ubiquitous harridan, Nancy Pelosi. That wasn't nice. That wasn't nice. Kurt, shame on you. It's a time of unity, people. It's a time of feelings. It's a time of love. It's Unity Fest 2020. Are you feeling unification curious, folks? I know I am. And I know Joy Behar is. Can we have cut 25 for some heavy-duty unity?
I mean, what do you think Mitch is up to here, Joy? Was he sincere or was he concerned about you-know-who? What do you think the story is?
Well, I don't know what he's up to because I'm not a criminal profiler. But it looks as though what he's doing right now is putting him in a corner with the Georgian Republicans who are Trump supporters, because now he's saying the truth, which, by the way, he gets no credit for saying the truth.
Putting him in a corner, putting Mitch McConnell in a corner. Nobody puts the murder turtle in a corner, especially here on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. And definitely not with guest host Kurt Schlichter. That's me. Are you feeling unification-y? I am. I certainly am after that. I mean, that's okay. Maybe that was an exception to the rule because we are unifying it all up here. Let's look at Axios. They've got a scoop, and I can't actually read what was said. It's top Biden aides blank quote is under fire. It's by Hans Nichols and friend of the show, Jonathan Swan. And here's how it goes. Some advisors close to President-elect Biden, asterisk, I will always add an asterisk, are frustrated over a Glamour magazine interview in which incoming White House Deputy Chief of Staff Jen O'Malley Dillon referred to Republicans on Capitol Hill as blankers. I'm not sure that's all unification-y. Why it matters. Biden campaigned for the presidency by promising to, quote, restore the soul of America. I didn't know my soul needed restored, but okay. And not to question the motives of political opponents, whom he insists aren't enemies. Fighting words from a high-level staffer could give Republicans ammunition to cast doubt on Biden's sincerity. Yeah. Yeah, it took Jen O'Malley Dillon's quote for us to cast doubt on Biden's sincerity, you know, as he's in his campaign to restore our soul through the power of unity. After the Electoral College affirmed Biden's victory on Monday, I forgot the asterisk after Biden, he promised to, quote, turn the page, unquote, on the campaign and, quote, heal the country. He's going to heal the country, folks, through the power of unity. This is unity, you blankers. Some donors want O'Malley Dillon, his campaign manager, to apologize to Biden and perhaps to congressional Republicans. Okay, I feel that I need to explain how apologies work. Because if you're going to call me a blanker, I would think that I am due the apology, not like some other guy who'd prefer that you not pull the mask off the seething hatred he's attempting to hide. Because let's face it, they don't like us. They don't like us. They want us disenfranchised, disempowered. And some of them want even worse. Are you on Twitter? I'm on Twitter at Kurt Schlichter. You should follow me. Caution, I work a little blue. But if you're on Twitter, you know, there are people out there who really seem to prefer that we not, you know, live. And but unity, folks, there's a bunch of unity going on. Let's continue with this Axios article. Top aides blanker quote is under fire between the lines. This is one of the first signs of division in a team that's prided itself through the campaign and transition on unity. Wait a minute, unity in the campaign, not like unity among us. Message discipline and minimal leaks and is now preparing to govern. Asterisk. For those of us who, from day one, bought into Biden's calls for civility and a return to normalcy, this isn't just beyond the pale. It's just plain stupid, said one Biden donor. The other side. She could have used a different adjective, sure, said one Biden official. But you know, Jed, she's real. She's authentic. She says how it is. Okay. So, basically, these calls for unity are a bunch of, you know, Jerry Nadler. It's a bunch of Jerry Nadler. It's come on. Look, I don't want to unify. I don't believe we should be unified. What, Kurt? You hate unity? I bet you hate puppies too. I love puppies. My record on puppies is unimpeachable. I am pro puppies. But unification, I don't want to be unified. I want a vigorous debate over every issue. With strong advocates making their case so I and you and the rest of us can decide on the best course of action, because we've heard all sides. The purpose of unity is to shut up dissenters. Unify. Don't make trouble. Get together. Bring it in for the win. We're a team. I'm not a team. I'm not a team. I'm not a supporter of Biden, and I want him to fail in everything he does. Pretty much. I mean, you know, statistically, he's got to do something I agree with. But what's that going to be? Re-embrace the climate cult? I don't want him to succeed in that. Cut the military budget to the bone? I don't want him to succeed in that. Screw up the Middle East and give more money to the mullahs? Not unifying around that. Unity is a scam. It's a way to shut us up. It's a way to say, well, all you people who supported President Trump, we want you to come around. And they say it. They say it right here in this article. They say that Biden wants to project a message that Republicans aren't bad people, and that when Donald Trump departs the scene, they may have an epiphany. I don't need an epiphany. I know you suck. President Biden asterisk, you and your whole commie cadre. Okay, I'm not unifying. And this baloney about how somehow when Donald Trump goes away, we're all going to get better and we're all going to start, you know, rowing in the same direction, rallying around him. You want unity. What are you giving up, Joe Biden? What are you giving up? What do I get? What is important to you that you will forego in order to buy my trust? Are you going to not ban my religion? Are you not going to ban my guns? What's important to you that you're going to say, well, this is important to the people who are normal patriotic Americans, and to reach out to them, I am going to forego it as a show of good faith? The answer is nothing, because he's not going to do that. But come on. He wants us to give up. He wants us to submit. He wants us to roll over. Yeah, I don't play that. You don't play that. We certainly don't play that here in the Relief Factor studio in beautiful Southern California. This is the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I am guest host Kurt Schlichter. Stick around.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384.
800-500-8384. And you know that Kurt Schlichter is guest hosting the Hugh Hewitt radio program when the powerful punk waves of the Ramones emanate, this time on the Christmas tip. Hey, Adam, do we have any good Kwanzaa music?
I'm on it.
Yeah. We're going to need to have an appropriate Kwanzaa tune, because there's nothing I like more than made-up socialist fake holidays, which, you know, perfectly encapsulate 2020. That's like the ultimate 2020 thing. But anyway, I need a good Kwanzaa carol, and I've been asking for evil Christmas carols. Christmas music, just because I want to take it in a different direction from you. But, you know, I don't necessarily need evil Kwanzaa music, but I'm open to it. Maybe like the Misfits, the Sex Pistols, you know, Kwanzaa thing. Adam, thumbs up. He is on it. So brace yourself for the next bumper music. We may have evil Kwanzaa music. But Christmas itself isn't evil. Christmas is good. It's about giving. It's about the Lord sending his son as a savior, making that sacrifice. That's what we're really celebrating. It's sad that when the Charlie Brown Christmas has better theological underpinnings than some of our mainstream churches. But, you know, you don't have to fall into the cultural malaise. You can make a stand. You can personally make a difference. I've done it myself. I've written this check, and I'm going to ask you to do it too. It's for Angel Tree. It's the Hugh Hewitt campaign for Christmas to help kids whose parents are in prison. Here's an amazing statistic. This Christmas, just 8 days from now, 2.7 million children will spend the holidays separated from their incarcerated parents. Think about that. But Angel Tree is a program of the nonprofit Prison Fellowship that serves parents behind bars by equipping you and me to share the love of Jesus with prisoners, children, and families. Like I said, I've done it. I'm a colonel, retired colonel. I try and lead by example. I have written a check, so I'm not asking you to do something I didn't do. I was proud to do it. James Ackerman is the president of Prison Fellowship. Here's what he's got to say.
When a parent goes to prison, the household is economically devastated. These caregivers cannot afford to buy Christmas gifts for their own children. But the genius of Angel Tree is that we are purchasing the Christmas gift on behalf of the incarcerated parent.
I think that's amazing. Okay, you got these little kids, their parents are gone through no fault of their own, and yet the parents are reaching out. Think about what that does. As James Ackerman pointed out, children of prisoners should not be punished for the misdeeds of a parent. They deserve the experience to experience the love of Christ that only you can make happen. So please help make sure these precious kids aren't forgotten. Just go to HughHewitt.com. For a gift of just $220, you can bless 10 children of prisoners with special Christmas presents and a personal note from their incarcerated parent. Plus, every Angel Tree family is also given access to a free, easy-to-read copy of the Bible in English or Spanish. Again, please go to HughHewitt.com and click on the Angel Tree banner. I know I did. In these final days of the holiday season, you'll be blessed as you help make the children of an American prisoner experience the joy of Christmas by joining our campaign for Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree this year. Now, thank you. And, as a thank you to you, Salem Media has done something incredible. There's an incredible man that we lost this year, a loss attributable to this horrible disease. And that was Herman Cain. And the man was an inspiration. From poor to CEO is the incredible true story of Herman Cain, where a man came from a poor and undereducated family and reached the highest levels of corporate, social, and political America. It's available now at salemnow.com. On demand, $14.99. DVD, $19.99. Or on demand and DVD, $29.99. And the video on demand, that gives you unlimited viewings. You can check it out. It's great. If you've seen Larry Elder's movie, the Herman Cain portion was definitely a highlight. This is a great guy. It's inspirational, and it's fun. So go out, get from poor to CEO. Now, we got a lot more stuff coming up here on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter. I'm here in the Relief Factor studio here in beautiful Southern California. And I got a little surprise for you. He's a little feisty. It's Representative Chip Roy of Texas 21. This is going to be spicy. Tex-Mex. Stick around.
For the God that looks over all of the nations, from the elders we learn so much. For our youth.
Wow.
And the future.
This is Kurt Schlichter, guest hosting here on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. We took things in a different direction. Adam found me a... Please turn that off. A Kwanzaa carol, and like the fake pagan commie holiday itself, it was a nightmarish experience straight from the depths of hell. Please destroy that track and never play it again, ever, unless it's somebody who's guest hosting that you hate, which, you know.
You know they talk about me when I'm not here, right? You know, Schlichter was here yesterday, and he left the place on fire. And, you know, the only thing could have been worse in that cramped little radio room is if Eric Swalwell was in there.
And speaking of congressmen, I have one who's actually good. A guy from the Lone Star State. A real fighter. He is woke, and he's ready for action, especially on COVID. From Texas' 21st District, Congressman Chip Roy. How are you doing, Congressman?
Good morning, Kurt. Happy Kwanzaa to you, my friend.
Yeah, well, I love to share communist values at the during this special time. You know, there's nothing we need more than Jesus-free paganism. Yes, we need everything more, literally everything.
Nothing is more woke 2020 than a made-up crazy communist holiday people run around celebrating.
But a guy convicted of, sexual assault, so that makes it even... invented by that guy, it makes it even better. But let's get right into it. You are one of our congressional fighters over COVID insanity. I saw on your Twitter feed, which I think everybody should follow. You are at, hold on, I'm going to get this thing, Chip Roy TX. You quoted my pal, Chef Andrew Gruhl from here in Orange County, yep. California. And he pointed out something that was very important, that transmission is very, very low at small businesses like restaurants, yet that's where the entire burden is being placed. Why do they want to destroy small business?
You know, I think this is one of the important questions, Kurt, seriously. I mean, you know, I've been tracking this very early. When this started breaking out last March, one of the first things that I asked for is for people to focus on the elderly, the vulnerable, protect their nursing homes, the opposite, by the way, of what Cuomo did in New York, for example. But what the left has done is going around trying to do lockdown, shut everybody down. And that's all about control. It's all about destroying the backbone of America, the small businesses, which represent the entrepreneurial spirit, the least government place in the world, which is the entrepreneurial small business in America. And I think it's purposeful. And we're seeing the destruction of the creativity and the ability for people to go out and make their own living rather than having to rely on government. That's purposeful by Democrats. And they're using the virus as an excuse to do it. And if you look at the data, and you've looked at it, I've looked at it, and I follow some great accounts on Twitter. Elgato Malo is a great one, the Ethical Skeptic, Phil Kirpin, Alex Berenson, the sheriff, the chef you just pointed out has been out there talking about it. These restaurants that are getting shutting down, there's very little evidence of any transmission there. And there was a great study that came out of Spain where they've been doing a bunch of contact tracing. People who get out and about are less likely to get the virus. People who wear masks, it's either the same or maybe even more likely to get the virus, at least according to this one study. So we're getting a lot of crap thrown at us, and we ought to just be doing the one thing Americans are supposed to be good at, which is live free. And we need to push back.
Exactly, Congressman Chip Roy. Look, we are not virus deniers. I mean, you know, the liberals are science deniers because they don't look at those statistics and they don't act on them. But we are not virus deniers. You are a cancer survivor.
Yep.
And I had COVID. I caught it defending the president's in Nevada following that horrible, disastrous election. But it's very clear that we need to approach this in a different way. We've been doing the same thing for 11 months, and it's failed, and their answer seems to be, let's do more of it. And even with the vaccine, as you tweeted out, you know, there's some scientist out there, he's like, well, you know, even after you get the vaccine and you're immune, and I'm immune, I mean, I'm actually giving antibodies on Monday, but he's like, well, we still need to wear masks. What? That's just crazy.
Well, and this is the problem, right, is there's no logic or reason in this in terms of figuring out how we're going to go out and continue to produce the biggest economy in the world. I was amused when you see these folks go, well, New Zealand and these other countries, and they've got their lockdowns. Guys, the entire world depends on the United States of America functioning, right? Studies that show that like 150 million people are going to go hungry around the world because our economy isn't cranking out at the same level it normally cranks. And then we're seeing what's happening in our own country to in the decimating small businesses. Now we're debating in Congress. We're not debating crap in Congress. We never debate. But a handful of oligarchs, Nancy Pelosi and a few others, are running around. They're going to drop a $2.4 trillion bill on the floor of the House of Representatives today that I haven't seen. Literally, I've not seen it.
I don't think it's too much to ask Representative Chip Roy for our representatives to actually read the things they're voting on. Now, call me crazy, and people do, but how do we get into a place where we're passing giant bills without even reading them?
Well, we get that place is called Congress.
Yeah.
And the problem is when everybody goes, well, what's wrong there? What's wrong in that town? That's precisely what's wrong. And by the way, let me just go ahead and point the guns at both Democrats and Republicans. I mean, I'm obviously a proud Republican, but Republicans have been doing this too. We haven't had, believe this or not, to your listeners out there, we haven't had a vote on the floor of the House of Representatives on an amendment in open debate. That is that a congressman, one of the 435, your congressman, ladies and gentlemen, whoever it is, goes to the floor and offers an amendment. We haven't done that since May of 2016. The place is fundamentally broken. It is run by Nancy Pelosi and a handful of people in a back room in a committee who put together a big bill, and they bring it down to the floor and they say, take it or leave it. And that's what we're going to get today, ladies and gentlemen. $2.4 trillion dropped on the floor of the House. So I sent a letter yesterday along with I think maybe 12 to 15 of my colleagues telling the president, man, look, you should veto these spending bills. Don't think twice about it. I know he's going to veto the NDAA bill, the defense bill, and I know you're a veteran and you understand why I don't want to vote against the defense authorization bill, but we have to because it's chock full of a chief diversity officer, all sorts of restrictions.
Well,
on
that, that'll help defeat the Chinese. The essential unseriousness of America's military is a crisis right now. But let me ask you, Representative Chip Roy, I'm a small business owner too. The PPP has been a huge benefit to us. And I don't think it's, I'm a hardcore conservative. I don't think it's unreasonable when they say, you've got to shut down. Fine. Right. You've got to help me bear the cost, and we need to spread around. If you're asking me to spread, to bear the whole cost, that's unfair. Yep. There's a lot of talk out there among small business people about PPP taxability. What is the status of the move to make that money non-taxable so you don't get a big chunk of money that you spent keeping your people employed? I kept every one of my folks employed, even when they didn't have enough work to do. What is there any talk or discussion of that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. This is something that's near and dear to my heart. I represent a bunch of restaurants and a bunch of small businesses in Texas 21. And so in the summer, I worked actually across the aisle of all things. We passed the PPP
what?
Flexibility Act, which extended it and gave more flexibility for all you small business owners to be able to take advantage of it and stay alive. And by the way, for conservatives out there, look, I don't like big spending bills, but as you said, governments are shutting down businesses. This is like a taking, right?
Yes.
This is borderline regulatory taking.
Yes,
you've
exactly.
got government acting, taking away your livelihood. So, of course, government has to make you whole. So I've been fighting like hell for that. Now, this is one where I depart a little bit from the administration. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin has been the lead advocate against allowing you all to deduct the expenses you normally deduct when it's being deducted against the PPP flexible forgiven loans. And I disagree with that wholeheartedly. It's like the whole point of the forgiveness and the PPP was you guys were getting screwed by government.
Yes.
And we got to maintain and allow the deductibility. So I've written a letter to Mnuchin. I've called Mnuchin. I've called the White House. And Mnuchin has actually been threatening that they might even veto whatever bill, even though the bill is going to be a disaster, at least have some pieces of the PPP in there, including deductibility, and they're pushing back on it. So the negotiation right now, I'm advocating hard, get that tax provision in there. We need a extension of the PPP of funds to be available. We need to clear off the decks of the loans and make sure they're already forgiven and make sure that there's another round to help these businesses stay afloat. It's the one single thing we ought to be able to do. And by the way, remember, Nancy Pelosi has been blocking anything we try to do on small businesses since August. She's done so for political, crass political purposes. She admitted it, acknowledged it. So she's the obstacle to small businesses. But Steve Mnuchin needs to get out of the way of this tax issue. I think he's nerding out on gap accounting, and this isn't gap accounting. This is a taking.
Somebody needs to grab him by his tailored collar and say, look, you little weasel. You are shafting the heart and soul of the Republican Party, the heart and soul of America. You have asked us not to do business, not to be able to feed our families, yet to continue to support your employees. We did that. Now it's your turn. But let me turn to a subject that might be a little more fun. How well do you think Republicans are going to do in 2022?
Well, look, I think Republicans will do great in 22 if we get out and lead and we go out and give the American people a reason to get behind Republicans. And I think the reason and the way we got to do that is stop doing the bull crap in Washington, D.C., right? Go straight to the people
yes.
and go to about what we want to see. We're tired of having a government. Just yesterday in that letter that we sent the president saying veto these bills, why would any Republican vote for one of these spending bills that funds education to teach our children to hate America, that funds
exactly.
a border that's completely insecure and empowers cartels to move people across our border and move narcotics across our border? Why would we fund a government that is going to continue to take away our ability to go to the doctor of our choice and empower insurance bureaucrats?
Exactly. Why would we do any of that? That's Congressman Chip Roy. This is the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter. Stick around for Dr. Michael Warren. We're back on the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program. I am guest host Kurt Schlichter, senior columnist at townhall.com, author of the new novel Crisis. I am a noted trial lawyer. I'm a retired United States Army colonel. And I am honored to have one of my favorite guests, because you know I am a Hugh Hewitt listener. I listen to it every day, usually on podcast, because I don't get up at 3 a.m. every day. I'm no longer in the Army. One of my favorite guests is Dr. Michael Oren. He's the author of The Night Archer. He's the former Israeli Deputy Prime Minister for Diplomacy. Dr. Oren, how are you doing?
I'm good, Kurt. Good to be with you.
It's always nice to talk to a fellow paratrooper, except I only fell out of the plane five times to get the badge to meet girls. You were the real deal.
Yeah, I would say I was pushed out about 25 times.
I remember them tossing one reluctant young private out of the C-5. That was quite an experience. Anyway, Dr. Oren, this is a challenging time for Israel. You're looking at new elections in a few months. You're also looking at a new administration following what was arguably the most pro-Israel administration in American history. How's Israel navigating the future with America's executive in the hands of a party that contains a significant anti-Israel bloc?
Well, it's a source of some concern. Listen, I knew Joe Biden quite well as ambassador in Washington. I know most of his staff, whether Tony Blinken, his Secretary of State, Jake Sullivan, his national security advisor, moving quite well politically and personally, and they're all very pro-Israel. We're going to have some policy differences, no question about that. On the Palestinian issue, they're going to ditch the Trump peace plan, which I believe is the best peace plan this region's ever seen. It'd be a shame. It'd be actually a tragedy for the Palestinians. They'll go back to the plan on 67 borders with swaps and Palestinian capital in East Jerusalem. No one's going to implement that. The Palestinians don't have a leadership that's even able to implement it, even if they wanted to. And there's been a tremendous progress in peace in the Middle East, with Israel now having peace agreements with four Arab countries. It's extraordinary. And I hope that momentum will be lost. The biggest issue is going to be Iran, Iran, Iran. And whether the incoming Biden administration will move quickly to renew the disastrous 2015 Iran nuclear deal, which poses an extreme danger to this entire region, to Israel, and I think even to the United States, because Iran is developing intercontinental ballistic missiles that doesn't need to hit us. It needs to hit you. And it's amazing that people are renewing this deal. But so far, all the indications are that they're serious about it.
Well, Dr. Oren, look, I'm not going to insult you by asking if Israel is behind some of the recent misfortunes among notable terrorists and terrorist enablers, including explosions and lead poisoning. It does seem that perhaps someone, in anticipation of the change in American policy towards Iran, is attempting to reset the chessboard. How is Israel going to deal with it? What's truly an existential threat, if you have a significant number of American policymakers who believe, for whatever reason, that appeasement of these mullahs is the proper course of action?
Well, you said two essential words, Kurt. One was terrorist, the other was existential. Okay, Mr. Mohsen, General Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, who was eliminated several weeks ago, was a general in the Iranian Republican Revolutionary Guards Corps, which is listed by the United States as a terrorist organization. And yet you had people like John Brennan, the former director of the CIA, coming out and calling that act an act of state terrorism. So what world, what universe is eliminating a terrorist leader and act of state terrorism? That's very, very bizarre. But the key word here is existential also. Iran is sworn to destroy the state of Israel. And it's not just words. It's acting to do that all the time. So we have both the duty and the right to defend ourselves. And we exercise that duty and right also during the Obama years. We never stopped. And I don't think you should read into any actions that have been imputed or attributed to the state of Israel as being a departure from long-standing Israeli policy, which is simply to fight terrorism, to kill terrorists, and defend ourselves against existential threats.
Well, Dr. Oren, Israel is on the border with Lebanon. Southern Lebanon is dominated by Iran and Iranian proxies. There are tens of thousands of missiles located in southern Lebanon. The simple fact is, and we know what happened in 1973. We know what happened on the Golan. We know how close Israel, it was such a close run thing. If Kahalani's brigade, for instance, had folded, we wouldn't be talking about Israel right now.
Is Israel prepared? And I know they're prepared tactically. I'm thinking logistically with stores of ammunition and reserves to deal with another war against the Iranians, essentially, and their proxy forces from Lebanon.
Well, the answer is quickly yes. The IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, have been training consistently to assault and enter the 207 Lebanese villages under misplaced 130,000 rockets aimed at all of our neighborhoods, our
Holy
schools,
cow.
Our communities. We have no choice. They can hit us with between 2,000 and 4,000 rockets a day.
Well,
so
Doctor,
we continue to rely on the United States too for resupplying us.
Well, Dr. Warren, there are a lot of friends of Israel here in the United States, and I hope some of them are in the Democrat Party. The one thing that we need to make clear, we will always stand with Israel. This is Kurt Schlichter from the Hugh Hewitt Program. Stick around.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.